Well, good morning, friendship. Good morning, you all who will be joining us by way of teleconferencing. Well, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, this week we are broadcasting from, and we thank God for the opportunity to do so, if the Lord wills, on next week. We will be back in the sanctuary with live worship, and I will be sharing the word from the pulpit. So again, we thank you for joining us today. We're having some difficulty with our teleconferencing. So what I've done is disconnected from the teleconferencing. So those of you who know someone who might be trying to listen by way of teleconferencing, we ask that you would give them a call and let them know we've disconnected because we're having some difficulties. Well, let us pray this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for this new day that you've made. We decree and declare that we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father God, for this time where we minister the word to your children, Jesus' church, and even some lost individuals that may be listening this morning, or some individuals that don't know Jesus or do not know Jesus as Savior of their lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and as we prepare to share the word, that you do go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost beings so that we can and will spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is sharing with us this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I share this morning, that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak with my mouth, that you do flow through me to say and do everything that Abba our Father and Jesus our Lord and King desires for you to say through us and do through us as we minister the word of God today. Father God, we thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place today. We thank you that your word has free course. And Lord, we thank you that your word is sown on good ground, that good ground being our hearts. Father God, we thank you today, and we do decree and declare that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray and give thanks. And all who approve that prayer said, amen. But just before I start this morning, I'm going to try again to connect to those who might want to listen to us by way of teleconferencing. And if it works, we bless God for it. And if it doesn't, we will move on from the teleconferencing. Amen. Seem like all of our difficulties have been repaired, so we will move on with the word this morning. Well, let me start this morning by apologizing for something that I said on last week. In the heat of the message, I said James, which was one of the disciples who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ and John and the other disciple who went up, Peter would be the other disciple. I said that James wrote the book of James, which is the wisdom book in the New Testament. And I said that incorrectly. I knew better. It must have been just in the heat of the message. Actually, the brother of Jesus, his name is James as well, wrote that book in the New Testament. Amen. So I just wanted to apologize to you for giving you wrong information. Anytime I remember that I've done something wrong, I try my best to clear up by wrongdoing, if you will. Amen. Well, we're in part number 5 of our lessons entitled Knowledge. And we define knowledge as to know, and to know as to understand with clarity, to clearly see, to clearly understand, etc. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking from the subject revelation, and we understand that revelation from a biblical perspective has to do with how God communicates with mankind, amen. And secondly, we understand that revelation has to do with how God communicates his will and reveal himself to his people. We told you that revelation, or the Bible, is the revelation of God, amen. It's the way that we understand God, know God, see God clearly. However, there are other ways that God reveals himself to us as well. Last week, we entered into part 2 of the revelation lessons, and we gave you about 3 or 4 points that I want to rehearse in your hearing real quickly before we move to today's lesson. We said number 5, which was point number 5 from the first lesson, we said that revelation, what God reveals to us, is realized in the mind of mankind, just as natural knowledge is realized in the man, in the mind of mankind. Amen. Number 6, we said that God reveals relevant, real-time information, his real-time thoughts to us by his Spirit. Number 7, we said that prophecy reveals the will of God to, and I'll add, to God's people. Amen. And number 8, we said that there are some believers that God reveals more of himself to because of their closeness to him. Amen. And number 9, we said that there is some knowledge concerning the world, this age that we live in, and the people in it, that can only be revealed to us by the Creator through his Spirit. Amen. So hopefully when you heard last week's word, you got a clear understanding of the second part of the teachings on Revelation, which had to do with, again, God revealing himself to his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, today we have, and this lesson will probably run over into next week, which will probably have some seasonal connotations to it, if you will. Amen. And today, as we look at the term revelation, through biblical history, chose mankind to reveal himself to, amen. For this portion of the teachings on revelation, we want to say this about revelation. Revelation can be described as an uncovering of oneself, or a person letting you see exactly who they are, amen. I remember, you know, doing dating days, you know, you'd go out with somebody and they would put their best foot forward. They would only let you see what they wanted you to see about them. And then as time goes on in the dating game, you begin to learn a little bit more about the individual, because the individuals will allow themselves to reveal more of themselves to us or to you as we date them. Well, it's the same way with God, if you will. God, as he draws us unto himself, reveals himself to us little by little as we spend time with him to try to learn more about him. Amen. I can remember, you know, there are some times when I knew a little about God based upon my relational walk with him. And now I know a lot more about God than I did prior to me beginning my walk with him, because again, I've spent more time with him. I've walked with him longer, and he just continues to uncover himself to me. Amen. During my Christian walk, I've run into some more seasoned saints, if you will, and you would raise something about the Lord, and some of those seasoned saints would tell you, I know the man, which means there's been a relationship, which means there's been some experiential knowledge that they have learned about God by walking with him, amen. Or we can simply put it this way, he unfolded himself or he revealed himself to them more and more, little by little, as they walk with him. Amen. So there is biblical context. There is a biblical pattern in the Bible as it relates to how God would choose individuals and reveal himself to them. Amen. And I want to suggest to you today that even now, in this age that we're living in, God is still choosing individuals and revealing himself to them little by little, amen. You know, I'm thankful that God healed my body. So I can say that really, I really know him as a healer, amen. And somebody can say that, well, I know him as a deliverer because he delivered me from particular areas in my life where I need much or I needed much deliverance. So they will say that I really know him as a deliverer. In both cases, in my case and in your case, however he reveals himself or however he revealed himself to you, it was through that relational act that you started when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, or as Savior and Lord as your life, or as Savior and Lord of your life, amen. So again, we just want to look at the biblical context and see how God chose men throughout the Bible and revealed himself to them, amen. I chuckle inwardly and made myself outwardly because, man, there are so many different aspects to God. There are so many different sides to God until, you know, it takes a little time to learn all of those sides to God, amen. If you go throughout the Hebrew text or the Old Testament, there are many different names that are used that describes God or uncovers God, even uncovers his character to us, amen. So as it relates to our walk with the Lord, as it relates to our learning more about him, as it relates to us gaining more knowledge of him, man, that's an ongoing thing because there is so much to learn about God, amen. So we're going to look at the biblical context, amen. And first we'll look to the Old Testament, and we will see that God revealed himself to the Old Testament patriarchs as Almighty God. He chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then he began to give them revelation of himself, or he began to reveal himself to them, and the person of himself that he wanted to reveal to them was that he was Almighty God. Or we can say that he is El Shaddai, the sufficient one, the one who is able to fulfill every promise that he makes to an individual, or especially to believers, amen. So he started out in the Old Testament as it relates to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, the leaders of the family, if you will, by revealing himself to them as Almighty God, or El Shaddai, or the All-Sufficient One, the one who's able to fulfill every promise that he makes to them, especially to any other individual that he makes promises to, amen. And then he moved from there to revealing himself to Moses. And the scripture declares that he revealed himself to Moses not as Almighty God, but he revealed himself to Moses as Lord. Lord being Jehovah. Jehovah being the self-existent one, the one who's always existed, the one who will always exist, if you will, amen. If you want to know where God comes from, you need to understand that God came from God, amen. If you want to know what God is going back to, you need to understand that God is going back to himself, amen. He's the eternal one, amen. He existed in eternal past. He exists right now, and he exists into eternal future, if you will, amen. So God is, Lord, and God of God revealed himself to Moses as Lord. That is, the self-existing one, or the eternal one, the one that always has been, always is, and always will be. As a matter of fact, when God chose Moses to go down to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh about releasing his people, one of the things he said to Moses after Moses said, well, who shall I tell Pharaoh that send me? He said, tell him that I am. I am, glory to God. That means he always has been, he always will be. Somebody say amen, amen. Well, let's look at a little scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 3, we'll see that God revealed himself, or revealed himself to the patriarchs as Almighty God. And then he will go on to say that at the time when he was conversating with Moses, he would reveal himself as Lord. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 3. I am so spoiled by the screen when the audio people, video people, media people, they put the scripture on the screen for me. All I have to do is look up and read. Now that I'm in my home, I don't have a screen, so I have to use my Bible to turn to the scripture on the pages of the Bible. Amen. God said to Moses, he said, I appeared to Abraham, Exodus chapter 6, verse number 3. He said, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs after the flood. Somebody say amen. He said, I appeared to them as God Almighty. You again, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them. So even though they knew me as Almighty God, they did not know me as Lord or the self-existent one, amen. So now you're going to get a chance, Moses, to see this side of me that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't see, because I'm going to reveal myself to you in a way that I didn't reveal myself to them. Somebody say amen. And not only did he reveal himself as Lord to Moses and to the children of Israel, but he also revealed or uncovered some of his character to Moses, amen. Moses had to get a couple of tablets and go up on the mountain so that he could get the Ten Commandments written on the tablets and bring them back and present to the people. And while he was there on the mountain, God decided to reveal some of his character to Moses. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34 is Moses. Not only do you know me as Lord, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about myself. I'm going to reveal some of my character to you. Somebody say amen, amen. It says in verse number 6 of the book of Exodus, chapter 34, it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God. Merciful, I'm merciful. Gracious, I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering, God says. I put up with a lot. And I say amen, thank you, Jesus. And abounding in goodness, I increase in goodness, and I increase in truth, amen. So not only now do you know something about me as it relates to me being Lord, now I'm introducing to you some of my characteristics, some of my qualities, if you will, amen. Again, he said that, look, I'm merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness, and abounding in truth, if you will. And if you know anything about the scripture declares that he is the Lord thy God that changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he's just as gracious today as he was back then. He's just as merciful today as he was back then. He's just as long-suffering today as he was back then, and so on and so forth, if you will, amen. So he revealed himself to the patriarchs as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abram, Isaac, and Jacob as Almighty God. He revealed himself to Moses as Lord, and he revealed some of his character to Moses as well, as we just rehearsed in the hearing, amen. And then he, in the Old Testament, revealed himself to, glory to God, the Israelites, the children of Israel as man. I'm the God who makes promises. I'm the God who's able to fulfill my promises. And I am the God who keeps my promises as well. Somebody say amen, amen. So he revealed himself to the children of Israel as the promise-keeping God or the covenant-keeping God. Amen. But because I want you to understand the fact, and God wants you to understand, that's why he gave me this lesson. He wants us to understand that he's in the business of revealing himself to his people. He's in the business of revealing himself to those who love him. Somebody say amen. And those who work on their relationship with him. Somebody know him as a provider. Because every time they need him to provide, glory to God, he shows himself as provider. Somebody say amen. Somebody knows him as the faithful God. Because every time they need him, he's right there revealing himself as the God that can be counted on. You can count on me to be there for you whenever you need me, because I promise you, boy, I'll never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So even though sometimes you might not feel like he's there, glory to God, he's there with you. He's there with us because he's revealed himself as an ever-present help, amen. Not just an ever-present help, but even an ever-present help in the time of trouble, amen. So he's steadily revealing himself, just like he revealed himself through the scriptures to us as he meet the need of those of us who have needs, amen. The word declares him to be the great I am, and somebody add, he's whatever his people need, whenever they need it. So whatever you need from the Lord, as he reveals himself to you, he will make himself known in a way where you will know that you can put your confidence in him. Somebody say amen. So he revealed himself to the Israelites as a promise keeper, as a covenant keeping God, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9, he shared a little bit more of his character to them. In this particular verse, he said, therefore, yes, sir, know that the Lord your God, somebody say God. God here is the Hebrew term Elohim, which is the plural form of God, amen. And now he's referencing himself as God to being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three in one, amen. He's Elohim, amen, or Elohim, if you will, amen. So he says, therefore, know that the Lord, your God. Now he's saying, I'm the self-existing one, along with I'm the plural form of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. He says, he is God. And then he reveals some of his character. He says he's the faithful God who keeps covenant, who fulfills covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So he's saying to us that he is the covenant-keeping God. He's the God of, you know, the Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant, whatever promises he makes in his covenant. He's the God that keeps those promises. Amen. Now, sometimes we need to make sure that we understand when we read scriptures like this. It says in the end, he keeps his covenant. He's merciful to those for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, we need to understand that the Old Testament was a book of works, if you will. In order for God to fulfill what he says he's going to say to you, et cetera, et cetera, there were his commandments that we have to keep, amen. Now, God is still a God of obedience, but now we don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to work to obtain his promises. God, under the new covenant, the covenant of grace, is a God of faith, if you will, amen. All we have to do is believe. Somebody say believe. Believe what he says. Have confidence in what he says. Put our trust in what he says. And God will fulfill what he says just by us believing. Somebody say amen. Now, every now and then, God will give us a word with instructions. Amen. And to prove that we believe what he says, we need to fulfill whatever those instructions are. Amen. So God revealed himself to the children of Israel as the promise-keeping God. Amen. If I said it, I don't lie. I'm going to bring it to pass. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Amen. Now, the problem with believers today, especially us folks like myself, we think if God said it today, he's going to do it tomorrow. Amen. What God says today doesn't necessarily mean he's going to already do it or always do it the next day. Amen. Sometimes there's some time in between the word shared and the harvest reaped, if you will, or the word shared and the promise kept. Amen. That's why the Hebrew writer says it very clearly to us, through faith and patience. I need to put a little bit more emphasis on that "and." Through faith and patience, the promise was, or the promises were fulfilled. God said it. There had to be some perseverance or some patience involved until God decided to manifest that particular promise in the lives of those who were believing him for the promise. Amen. Sometimes you say something today, you do it tomorrow, but in a lot of instances, there's time in between the promise and the reaping of the promise, if you will. That's why faith is important. Faith is the substance. Faith is the support that helps us hold on to what we're believing God for. Amen. We have to hold on to that particular faith until, or faith in the word that God has shared with the promise attached. We have to keep our faith in that word until such time as the promise is manifest. Amen. We can't be double-minded. We can't be, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe he did say it, maybe he didn't say it. We have to know, one, that he said it. Two, that it's a promise to us. And three, that he will do what he said. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God revealed himself to Israel as the promise-keeping God. Amen. Now, a few minutes ago, I mentioned Abram. I might have said Abraham, but I meant Abram. Abraham was Abram before he was Abraham, before God changed his name to Abraham, just like Jacob was Jacob before God changed his name to Israel. He changed names to reflect destiny, if you will. Amen. So as Abram, God chose and revealed himself as Almighty God. But as Abraham, God revealed himself to Abraham as a God that he could place his confidence in. Amen. A God that he could believe. Somebody, let's go over to one of my favorite passages. That's Romans chapter 4. Amen. I just had the person come in. My wife just come in and tell me how many minutes I got left. Amen. So I need to get in a hurry, I guess. Romans chapter 4. Himself to Abraham as the God that he could put his confidence in. Amen. The God that he could trust. The God that he could believe that he was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Somebody say amen. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, and I take some liberties sometimes that some theologians might have some issues with me about, but I'm going to take a few liberties today. Somebody say amen. The scripture says in Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, for what does the scripture say as it relates to Abraham? The scripture says that Abraham believed God, or he put confidence in God, or he believed what God told him, amen. And a lot of times you can see how Abraham believed based upon his response to what God said. If God said something to Abraham, in most instances, Abraham struck out and did what God said for him to do, amen. Those are instances where we can see his faith. We can see his faith. And I was reading scripture some time ago in Mark chapter 2, where the men came up on top of the house and tore the roof off to let their friend down to get their friend healed. The scripture declared that Jesus saw their faith. They didn't say nothing. He saw their faith by their actions, amen. And in a lot of cases, we can see the faith of individuals, or God can see our faith in him by the way that we respond to him, by the way that we carry out the things that he desires for us to carry out. Somebody say amen. So the scripture says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, if you will, or the right response to God. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, and I agree with him, but I had never heard him say it this way. He says, God have an obsession for his folks, his children, to believe him. God has an obsession for you, his people, for us, his people, to believe him. He don't want us doubting him. He wants us believing him. And one of the main reasons why he wants us to believe him, because he can't reward us if we don't believe him. Hebrews 11:6, which is one of my favorite scriptures, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Amen. So God, this might be a little bit too far out there, but God desperately wants us to believe him. If he said it, he wants us to believe it. Amen. Now, I found out in my walk with the Lord sometimes that we make ourselves believe that God says some things that he didn't say, amen. And then when the thing don't manifest, then we get upset with God, amen. As it relates to believing God, we must always have a word from the word that we can stand on, amen. I can believe by his stripes he heals us. I can believe other promises that he made to us. I can believe that I have eternal life because I believe in Jesus, his son. I believe that I'm going to heaven because all the scripture teaches me about those things that I can believe. I can believe that I can have, and I used to say abundant life, but I went back to the scripture. The Lord dealt with me on this particular passage one morning. I believe that I have life more abundantly, amen. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly, which is a greater form of life, or which is a greater form of the God kind of life, if you will. I'm about to jump out of this chair now. Somebody say amen. So God wants us to believe him, and as we believe him, he can manifest in our lives the things that he desires to manifest in our lives, amen. Without faith, he can't get it done, amen. Because we are under grace, under the dispensation of grace, and it takes faith to activate what God has provided for us in this dispensation, if you will, of grace, amen. Grace is favor. Favor is God's kind acts, if you will, or the favor of God describes God's kindness in us, in him giving us things, if you will, amen. So he's given them. He's already made them manifested, or made them available, if you will. A better word would be made available. A better word would be made available. He's already made them available through the death of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do to take possession of what he's made available is to believe. Have faith to manifestation, if you will. Amen. So God revealed himself to Abraham as the God that can be trusted, if you will. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 4, let's go to verse number 19, and I think I'm going to quit right here because if I move to the next point, I'm going to get into seasonal things, if you will, that I need to hold up on until next week, because that'll be the week before Christmas, and that'll be the week that we will share things relevant to this season that we're going into, amen, or this season that we're already in, amen. Verse number 19, listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4. It says, I think somebody might have let my seat down. Let me see if I can let it up. All right, okay. Don't y'all laugh at me. I won't fall out the seat. Next week I'll be standing up, so I won't have to be concerned about the seat, amen. Verse number 19 says, and not being weak in faith. Abraham's faith was not feeble, if you will. Abraham's faith was not vacillating back and forward. He had a strong faith, the scripture declares. I don't know if he started out that way, but I do know by the time the promise was manifested, his faith was very strong. Somebody say amen. Amen. It says, and not being weak in faith. And I believe that it probably had to grow. I believe that it took some time for it to develop. Just like it has taken time for our faith to develop. We used to just believe for salvation. Now we believe for a lot of other things. Or we believe that we can speak to mountains. Or we believe that we have what we say. Or we believe when we pray that we will receive because we have faith, etc., etc. We believe what the scripture says. Our faith has grown, if you will. Somebody say amen. It says, Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse number 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. Most of us who know a little bit about the scripture know that God came to Abraham because he did not have an heir. Abraham was 75 years old, and God told him that he was going to give him an heir from his own loins, if you will, or that he would have a baby with his wife, Sarah. Now, he's already 75, and by the time they actually had the baby, I think Abraham was 100 and his wife was 99, amen. So there was almost a 25-year gap in between the time that God made the promise and the promise came to fruition, if you will, amen. But even though Abraham's body was as good as dead, or his reproductive organ wasn't working as well as it did at one time, and Sarah's womb had to stop producing the blood flow that it needed to have in order for a baby to live in her womb and receive the blood from her that the baby needed to receive, even though all that was dried up, Abraham did not doubt the word that God shared with him. Somebody say amen. So Abraham knew, I guess from experience, that he could trust the God that made the promise. Somebody say amen. Verse 20 says, he did not waver. He did not vacillate. He didn't do the water in the ocean type thing. You know, the water in the ocean goes up and down. He did not waver at the promise, or what God had promised, at the promise of God through unbelief. He believed them until manifestation, if you will. Somebody say amen. Giving glory to God. Praise you, God, that we're going to have this baby. Praise you, God, that this baby's going to come. Praise you, God, that I'm going to go into my wife and she's going to get pregnant. And we're going to deliver that child, that son, that heir that you said that we were going to have. Somebody say amen. And the scripture goes on saying, and being fully convinced, no doubt, that what he had promised God, what God had promised, he was also able to perform, amen. And therefore, Abraham's confidence in God, Abraham's belief in God was accounted to him for righteousness, amen. So as it relates to Abraham, you know, he's called the father of faith in the New Testament. It's because of his strong faith in God, amen. God uncovered himself. God revealed himself to Abraham as a God that he could trust. Amen. Here's a good question as I close today. How is God revealing himself to you? Do you know any more about him today than you did when you started out with him years ago? Have your knowledge as it relates to him grown above just knowing him as Savior? Can you say he's Lord and really mean that he's Lord? Are there any other aspects about God that you've learned based upon relationship with him? Based upon leaning on him, based upon relying upon him. Do you know him any better today than you knew him yesterday? And perhaps even a better question is, do you really want to know him better today than you knew him yesterday? Man, one thing that I've learned about God recently is that he is a revelator. That he is steadily revealing himself to us, those of us who love him, those of us who grow closer to him. He's even uncovering things that we need to know in the present age that we live in to be able to maneuver in this system that we live in. I can say that I know him as a revelatory God, amen. Maybe not to the degree that some of you all might know him, but I really can say now that I know him as a God who reveals himself and a God who reveals pertinent revelation for life. He shows me just what I need to know to be able to live or to access the more abundant life that Jesus came for me to have. So what is your wish as it relates to the Lord? What is your desire as it relates to the Lord? Do you want to know him better? Or do you want him to uncover himself to you more? I'm in a relationship with my wife. I've been married to my wife for almost 37 years. I know a lot more about her today than I did 37 years ago. A lot more intimate things about her that I knew over 37 years ago. And it's simply because we're in relationship. And the relationship has continually grown over the years. There's some things that I know about her now that I didn't know then. There's some things I know about her now that I am glad that I hung in there for her to reveal to me. God, again, as I close, wants you to know him in a very personal way. And by the time we finish with this series, you're going to know how you can know that you really know him. Because the scripture teaches us how we can really know how we do know him. Amen. So he's uncovering himself. He's revealing himself. And it's his desire. Now there are some secret things that he keeps to himself concerning himself. But there are some things that he wants to share with us. That we can share with our children, amen, and they can share with their children, and throughout perpetuity, if you will. Somebody say amen. So I hope today that you've heard something in the message that will at least spur you to want to grow more in the Lord, to learn more about the Lord, to want him to uncover more about himself to you. And I hope that something was said today that will help you daily with your walk with him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we honor you so much for your word. It's liberating. It's like you. It's awesome. And Jesus said we can know it and it will set us free in the name of Jesus. So Father God, we honor you for this time that you've given us to share the word, and we thank you that your word has been received on good ground, and that as a result all of it being received on good ground, spiritual growth will happen. Lord, we honor you, we thank you, we trust you, we do give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, we do pray and give thanks. And all who heard that prayer said, amen, amen. Now, I'm sure that most of you who are listening today know by now that my mother-in-law, Mother Ernestine Smith, went home to be with the Lord a few days ago, and the family is soliciting your prayers, amen. For those of you who might be interested in the visitation hours and the graveside service hours, they are as follows. Visitation will be tomorrow, that's December 14th, from 1 p.m. until 5 p.m. over at Arrington Funeral Home in the southwest part of Birmingham, amen. And the graveside service will be on Tuesday the 15th at Zion Memorial Gardens over in the Tarrant area, beginning at 12 noon. If you would like to share with us in the ongoing celebration, please feel free to join us on Tuesday at 12 noon. Amen. Now, perhaps someone is listening today who needs Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. It's as simple as you invite them into your heart, to come into your heart and change your life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, the belief must be in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shall be saved. Amen. So all you have to do is invite him into your heart and believe by faith that he's in your heart, and he'll begin a work in you that only he can do. Amen. Secondly, if you're listening to us and you desire to give to this ministry or associated to this ministry, there should be some instructions as it relates to the various avenues that we have available for you to succeed into this ministry. We're not begging to give, neither are we saying that you have to give, but if you choose to give, there are some avenues by way or by which you can give to this ministry, amen. And lastly, our Children's Church ministry starts at about 11:30 a.m. Our Children's Church ministry staff is waiting so that they can minister to the children at their point of need or minister the word in a way where it's relevant to them, amen. Children's Church ministry emanates from the different homes of our children church staff by way of Zoom, amen. And that information should be on the screen somewhere so that you can take advantage of that ministry as well, amen. Well, until next week, I think I've shared about all that I need to share with you today. I look forward to seeing you next week from the Sanctuary of Friendship Christian Church Ministries, beginning with live worship and then the word, amen. I want you to know that I love you, and I pray that you have an awesome week this week. We pray God's peace upon you, his prosperity, his comfort, whatever you need. We pray that God meets those needs in your life. I love you. Bless you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.